I have over here a sefer called Kol Yaakov, a new Haggadah. I was Bigelized in last week, end of last week, and I asked of Aaron, the young fellow who works here, he told me he already got in for this year 30 new Haggadahs.
Well, some of them are kind of repeats.
So it's a translation.
Hebrew now they translate.
They have a two Haggadahs in Hebrew from Rav Moshe. Right, they have two Haggadahs from Rav Moshe in Hebrew. Two from, and now the article translated into English, a small one. It's not such a big one. They translated Rav Palm. There was a Haggadah that was put up by his family, by his grandson, and now they translate into English. Also, they're very essential. What?
I
looked. It doesn't have very much. It's very, very. It's very just a translation. Yeah.
I have my son is involved in. Haggadah for Rav Steinman just came out.
Oh yes, I saw that Haggadah. That was put out by that. There's a person. I don't know his name.
He's an anacle of Rav Eliyashiv.
So he puts out Haggadah every year. He puts out more than one Haggadah every year. So he puts. You know, he has
rights to all the writings of Rav Eliyashiv.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So he put out a Haggadah. Okay, a lot of the Haggadahs that have come out are very esoteric. They're Likutim from Sfarim. All Likutim. Okay, so this Haggadah caught my attention. Why did it catch my attention? The Sefer Kol Yaakov, because I bought from him already two Sfarim. He put out a Sefer on Tefillah. His name is someone, personally lives in Lakewood. His name is Spiegel. Ari Spiegel. I generally like Sfarim that are put out by people who speak English. Because they think in English. There's no question in my mind, the person who wrote this Haggadah, he's thinking in English, and he's translating into Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So, I usually find personally that people that think in English and translate to Hebrew, I am able to understand their writings much easier, much faster than buying or reading the Hebrew, reading a Ma'ariv, or reading the Hebrew papers in Eretz Yisrael. Besides the fact that the language is difficult, the modern Hebrew, but even the Yeshivish Svar that are put out by Israelis, they Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, he has a lot of modern Hebrew mixed into his Svarim, but besides the modern words that he mixes in, his style of writing is an Israeli style of writing. In Hebrew, you think different than the way you think is different than the way you think when you think in English. Because English, the structure of the sentences is very sequential. You go from the sentences are generally from beginning to end. In Hebrew, a lot of sentences, the words are inversed. So you get it has a different style of writing. So here's an American. He's an American. He's from Lakewood. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. He's a big writer. He already put out, this is his third sefer. He put out a sefer on Tefillah about a couple of years ago called Yaakov on Tefillah. It looks just like this cover. I purchased it. It's a very, very, a lot of Hanoah. I got a lot of good things out of it. And then he put out a sefer on the Chumash Megillos. Okay, so some of the things I told you over in the shul I got from his sefer. So I was very pleasantly surprised to see that he put out a Haggadah. So this is the only Haggadah that I got this year so far. So far, there's not much time left.
Zundel Berman has a sale going on.
Zundel Berman has a sale going on old Haggadahs.
On old stuff.
It's no fun to get the old stuff. It's only fun to get the new stuff.
With one on Coney Island Avenue.
Across the street from Chaim Berlin?
Yeah.
Okay, they are. Okay, so they. Alright, so they allow. So this Haggadah, I purchased, I browsed, I skimmed through. I didn't even have all that much time, so let me just share with you a few things that caught my attention. These are very simple things. No heavy duty things here today. Just some simple ideas. I came across this thing which caught my attention. We have a section of Haggadah called Yochol Mei Rosh Chodesh. I just opened up to the middle and started from the middle and just skimmed through some pages here and there. Yochol Mei Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Leimar Bayomahu. E Bayomahu. Yochol Mei Bod Yom. Talmud Leimar Bayomahu. Talmud Leimar Bavurzeh. Bavurzeh Leimarti El Bashosh Sheyesh Matzu Mora Munachem Lefonecha. Question over here is why did the Torah have to go out of its way to teach us that we should say the Haggadah, we should lay in the Haggadah, there's a Havamina and a Maskana. The bottom line is the mitzvah of Haggadah is Lel Pesach B'shosh Sheyeshmatzu Mor Munachim Lefonecha, and that's it. And in fact, he actually has the discussion about the various custom. Should you recite the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah? there is a minog that we recite the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah after Mincha. Instead of saying Shem Aleph, or instead of saying Pirkei Avos, so Shabbos Haggadah you recite the Haggadah. So I always thought that it's a davar parsh, it's the right thing you're supposed to do, it's the right thing to do. Not so simple. The Gros said you should not do it. And other Paisim say you should not do. Why not? Similar to the concept that you don't eat matzah Erev Pesach. And many don't eat matzah the entire Chodesh Nisan, or some don't eat for 30 days. In order that it should have flavor, in order that it should have an appetite. So it's shocking that some person can learn that in order that the Haggadah should have an appetite. Shocking thing, because when it comes to Torah, you would think Torah, there's no such thing as being not as not having an appetite. We mentioned today, in Yitin Adam, call all the water can't extinguish the love you have for Torah. Yet some person can say when you come to the Seder, you should have an appetite for the Haggadah, to recite the Haggadah. And if we really went to the Haggadah 50 times, when it comes to the Seder, it's old news. It's no big deal. So it's not necessarily the best thing to recite the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah after Mincha. Now, if that's the case, it only compounds the question. So why then did the Torah present, why can the Torah just say, V'gata levincha by yom hahu? Why do we have to have all of these psukim which mislead us? Yochel me'rash chodesh. I would think me'rash chodesh, why? Because the part of the Gemara is drashas. Why would I think from me'rash chodesh? It's a pasuk. Tamalem by yom hahu. But by yom hahu is also misleading. So in order to say, tamalem b'avur zeh. So let the Torah just say, b'avur zeh, v'gata levincha, b'avur zeh. The Torah couldn't the psukim had been reconstructed b'avur zeh. So he goes on to say is that a hava mina is also a limud. When the Gemara has a hava mina, even though la halacha we reject the hava mina, the fact that there is a hava mina, it has halachic weight, there's significance, and there's what to learn from. Classic example of this idea is some shuls do not say tachnun on the 16th and 17th day of Adar. Okay, some shuls, we all know that Purim is the 5th, 14th, and the 15th. What about the 11th, 12th, and 13th? So, Taka, there are some minhagim that you don't say tachnun, because since technically speaking, they didn't the Gemara, if you live in a kvar, so the kvar machnisim liyom machnisa. So technically speaking, you can go and you can lay in the Megillah on day 11, day 12, and day 13. So therefore, those days are also partially Purim. So therefore, you don't say tachna. What about day 16 and day 17? Well, at one point in the Gemara had a hava mina, being that it says bizman nehem with the Gemara of Drasha, there's a hava mina that you should not say tachna on day 16 and day 17, and the Gemara rejects it. V'lo yavar. Don't go and take the pasuk bizmanehem to suggest that we should lay in the Megillah day 16, day 17, because it says v'lo yavar. Yet there are minhagim that because there is a hava mina in the Gemara, even a hava mina that also carries halachic weight, and every time you have a Gemara that has a hava mina, the purpose of the shach of atari is to take this up. Maybe it does not apply in this instance, but you could extract the concept and apply it in another sugi in shas. Divrei Torah anim b'mokam echad v'ashim b'mokam acher. You could apply it somewhere else. So therefore, there are minhagim that you don't say tachan day 16 and day 17 of Adar because there was a hava mina. The same thing is true when it comes to Haggadah. It's true. Halacha l'maisa. The Torah says ba'avur zeh lo yamarti el mishor sheyesh matzu mor menachem lefanecha. But the fact that the Torah went out of its way to mislead us, kaviyachol, to say to have an extra psukim which would tell us that we should start saying the Haggadah on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and we should say the Haggadah at least during the week, at least Be'er Pesach, this tells us there's a havamina. There's a hava means you may not actually fulfill the mitzvah, but there is an inyan to prepare. There is more of an inyan to prepare for the mitzvah Vigat Levincha than there is for other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs in the Torah, when it comes to taking a Lulav and Esrog, Torah doesn't tell you anywhere that you need any havamina. There's never a hava mina that you should take the lulav and esrog on the 14th day of Tishrei. There's never a hava mina you should take the lulav and esrog on Pesach, on Rosh Hashanah, on any other day. There's no hava mina you should go into a sukkah on any other day of the year other than the 15th day of Nisan. You go through every single mitzvah, there's no hava mina you should blow shofar on any other day than the first day of Tishrei. The only mitzvah, one of the only mitzvahs where the Torah presents the mitzvah through a shakla v'tarye and presents psukim and ideas that maybe this taka havamina that you should say the Haggadah, you should teach your children what Pesach is all about on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, so maybe not Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so maybe Erev Pesach.
Havamina is because of Shloshim Yom Kodesh.
No, more than that. Yochol Me Rosh Chodesh. It's not just Shloshim Yom. It's based on a drasha. You have to go through the Mefarshim based on the Makoros and the Pasuk. The Gemara is going to reject this. Bayom Ahu. Oh, Bayom Ahu means what's Bayom Yochem Bo Yom? We should start Bayom, we should start on the 14th day, because that's also the day when we do the Maisa Shrit, and it's also the beginning of the Gula. No, Talon Bavur is that. So what's this all about? It's a unique mitzvah where the mitzvah is presented through a Havamina to teach us. It's not the halacha, but there's also some significance to a Havamina to tell us that there's an inyan min haTorah already. A person should prepare himself for the Seder already when it comes Rosh Chodesh. Different than lulav and esrog and sukkah.
He says this.
This appears to. For this same idea, for the Shirim. What Haggadah you got there?
This is Chaim
Shiesh for him. It's a new one also, right?
Yeah.
That's a brand new Haggadah, right? Okay. Okay, so this is an idea. This is an interesting idea that he presents over here. Now, again, he has another idea, which is very another. He says, this you never heard such a thing like this. Yochol Merish Chodesh, this is totally brand new, is after the Arba Banim. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and Sheni Deel Lishol. So, and then, after Shein Do Lishol begins, Yochol Meirosh Chodesh. So he suggests, I don't know if it's his or someone else is, the Hava Amin is only for the She'eno Yodeh Lishol. It's a smichos. For the Chacham, who asked the Kasha, the Tam, and the Rasha, there's nothing to start. There's no preparation. They come to the Seder, and they right away start. But the She'eno Yodeh Lishol, you can't start with the She'ena Yodeh Lishol the night of Pesach. It's too little, too late. That's the smichos. Yochol Meirosh Chodesh for who? For the last section that we left off from the last of the Arba Banim, the She'ena Yodeh Lishol. And indeed, in every Havamina, there's a kernel of truth. And the kernel of truth is, maybe for the Chacham, the Tam, and the Rasha, for those children you don't need much preparation because you'll get the bang for your buck on the night of Pesach. But for the child that She'ena Yodeh Lishol, he needs some extra attention. For him, you got to start a little bit early with Rosh Chodesh to get him into the mode of things. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Does he comment on the
what?
Do you have any comments on
that? On what? Yeah, he has comments. It's a massive Haggadah.
But Kellen raised an interesting question. I saw it this morning.
They live at the same time.
No, not towards the time. He asked a question. Why weren't they home with their families?
They were. This wrote down. They were going for Tzarchei Tzibur. There was a Gzeres Hashmad.
Of Rome?
Yeah. There was Gzeres Hashmad and they were on an emergency mission and they didn't make it back in time, or they were on the way. That's what they asked that question. They were on an emergency mission, or some say that it was not the night of Pesach. Whoever says that event took place, right. The night of Pesach, it took place in Hanukkah time. In the middle of Hanukkah, in the middle of the year it took place. Okay, let's go to another idea. He has a very simple but profound idea. We have Pesach Kol Mishloyama Shloisha Dvarm Il Pesach Layotza Yidei Chayvase. But first, before we go to the main idea, just want a small dik. He asked the question, why does it say Layotza Yidei Chayvase? It should be enough to say Kol Mishloyama Shloisha Dvarm Il Lalu Layotza. Period. And he cites numerous examples in Chazal, where Chazal tell you if you don't do the mitzvah the right way, lo yotza. Why in the Haggadah are there two extra words, lo yotza, yidei choy vasoi? So the answer is very similar. What exactly are you not yotze? If you ask the average person, you would assume that you're not yotze the mitzvah of eating matzah. I ate matzah, and then I was busy, I got distracted. I never got around to saying this part of the Haggadah. Well, this really goes before, this goes before the Haggadah. But let's say I never said the Haggadah. I just ate a piece of matzah, and I did not, so you would assume, so you were not yoitze the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Eat another kazayas of matzah, and make sure you say the nusach in order to mekayim the mitzvah. If you eat the maror, and you don't say the nusach of the Haggadah, lo yotza. If you don't have a Pesach, if you had a carbon Pesach, and you would not say these things, he would not be Yetzer. Is that the pshat? So he says it's not the pshat. We don't find anything. We don't find anywhere in halacha that you mechuyev to mamish say these things. If you eat the matzah, you'd say mitzvahs. Do they need kavana? Do they need kavana? Daraisa, the rabbanan. It's no different than any other mitzvah where you don't find a requirement to say. When you take a lulav and esrog, it's a mitzvah daraisa. We don't find that you have to say the nusach. When you sit in the sukkah, we don't find you have to say. But that's the yomtiv. But when you eat the matzah, you have to make an. When you blow shofar, you have to say a nusach. I'm blowing shofar now because for a reason. When you take a little of an esrog, you have to say a reason why you're blowing shofar. We don't find anywhere by any Mr. Raisa. It's a given. It's assumed. Why shemat? So he wants to suggest that's not if. That's exactly what it means. Yidechayvosoy is not referring to the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Hagodah. That matzah, pesach, matzah, morar, yoytze, even if you don't say one word. But there's another mitzvah that applies the night of Pesach, and that's the mitzvah of v'higadetem levincha b'yoyim ahu le'mar. And when it says lo yotze yidei, the Chazal emphasized yidei chayvaso, didn't just stop lo yotze. Lo yotze has a connotation of what it said by other mitzvahs. When you do a maisa mitzvah, if you don't do it the right way, lo yotze. But here it's a different expression, lo yotze yidei chayvaso, yidei chayvaso. Of the mitzvah of Haggadah, v'gartem levincha b'yom ahu le'mar, part of explaining what the night is all about requires you to say all these three things. Okay, let's go to the main. The main idea is a very simple question, a very simple answer, but there's a lot of depth in this answer. And the question, the order is, it's out of order. Everything about the Haggadah is all about seder, order. Order, what would you put first? If you were running the Haggadah, you have a choice, Pesach, Matzah, Mor. What would you put first? You would put first. What would you put first? Morar. Vayimoru eschayehem ba'avoida kasha. First came the bitterness. Then came Pesach. Then came Hashem passed over all of our homes and saved us. And then came Matzah. So it's out of order. It should be, we have it Pesach, Matzah. Those two are in order. And at the end comes Morar. So Moror is out of order. Moror should come first. It should be Kol Mish Lo Yomar Moror Pesach Umatzah Lo Yotza Yidei Chayvasa. And this question is emphasized on the night of the Seder when everything is with precision. Seder has to be with perfect precision. So why? So he says one very simple answer. Yiddishkeit does not glorify bitterness. Don't live in the past. It's taka true. The first thing was the bitterness. But it's a powerful message when you're sitting together with your family and you're commemorating the creation of Klal Yisrael. Get it straight. Don't live in the past. Don't have all the various expressions, people who are depressed, people who have experienced trauma in their life. Get past it. Don't dwell on it. Yiddishkeit is optimistic. It's forward looking. When you sit down to commemorate Kol Mishle Omar Shloisha Dvarim Halal Yotzi Dechavoso, Yiddishkeit is looking to the future. It's Pesach Matzah. And then we have to remember there was something that happened in the past. There was a bitter experience which we learned from. But this is not what you glorify. There are ideologies and religions that glorify the tsaris. You live with this persecution complex. Wherever you go, you can't get out of the horrors that you've experienced. Yeah.
Or if your sole identification with Judaism is the Holocaust.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Exactly. That's exactly. This is what Chazal had in mind. The first thing is Pesach Matzah, and then you focus on Mor. Don't let that be the primary. The tzaris is not the ikar. Okay, he has a very beautiful vart when it comes to Karpas. Charoises. Charoises, then we know that Charoises we add all different types of ingredients. It should be red to commemorate the blood. It should have apples, tachas, tapuach. We learned that not long ago in Shira Shirim. Tachas, tapuach, or articha. It should be thick, like cement. It should, many different things are included. There's a lot of symbolism in the charoses. And one of the things we just mentioned is the apples, tachas, tapuach, or articha, which Chazal learned that when the shibud got very intense, got very intense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brought the Noshim to the men who were working in the field, and they became pregnant. Okay, and I don't even know the pages, but he brings down there were many miracles that happened in that pasuk that the Chazal mentioned from that pasuk, Tachas Hatapuch Ararticha, which he explains to mean is the worse the shibud got, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his presence to be felt. That he feels is one of the main themes of the Karpas. When there's Moror and there's Karpas.
Karpas or Charos?
Charos. There's Moror and Charosis. Moror is bitterness. Rachmana Litzlan. There were difficult times. There are difficult times. There's Moror. When you dip the Moror in Charosis, you're focusing on that the more painful it is, the more you will find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to be found in difficult. Let me read you the words. Let me just give me 1 second to find exactly what he says. Made an impression on me. Here is Koirech. Here is Chareisis. Here it is. Let me read what it says over here. Ebelezer Rabbi Tzedek Omer Mitzvah. My Mitzvah. Rabbi Levi Omer Zecher Litapuach. This is a Medrash. What's a Gemara? Psachim Daf Kuf Yudalid. Zecher Litapuach. Shehoyu Yoldois Binehen Shom Beloy Etzef. A miracle happened. There's a curse. Be'etzef tel dibonim. There's a curse that childbirth comes with pain. Hashem had rachmonis on us that at the time of the shibud, during the worst time of shibud, when the men were out in the fields doing slave labor, their wives came into the field and the wives became pregnant. And when they became pregnant, there was a painless childbirth. That's what Chazal say, and that is why you add the tapuach. The tapuach alludes to this pasuk, shahoyu yoldos b'nehem sham b'loy etzev. Why? Why was it necessary that the women gave birth in a state when there was no pain? Shelo yakiru bohem hamitzriim. If women were screaming in labor as they were giving birth, the mitzriim would take note that the women are giving birth, and they would take the children, they would kill the children, they would kill the men and women as well. Tachsiv tachas hatapuch orarticha. So it's not as hard. It's the marsha. Hamarsha perish shalafi zeh yesh loymar. Shehatam, Shechachamim tignu lahatbil hamora b'charoses. This to me was very profound. This marsha, the reason why you did one charoses, kidei liskar shekechol shenisgaber hashibud. As the shibud got worse and worse, as the intensity of the bitterness increased, kach in proportion, gavra hashkochoso yisparach oleinu. The greater the intensity of the shibud, but that all that says is that they increased in number. That doesn't tell us that the hashkacha ken yivu ken yifrotz means they increased. They try. The more they try to suppress us, the more we grew. But it's a very deep idea. You're taking morer, bitterness. You're eating now. You come to the midst of morer. It's bitter. Okay, so we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo Yenochi Betzara, but we take the moror and we dip the moror in charoses. The charoses has the tapuach. The tapuach is the apple. The apple is to remind us that there was no curse. Ki be'etzev tel dibonim. Hashem took this away at the time when we needed it the most, to remind us that even though it's bitter, and even when there are different madregos in bitterness, madregos lefi each madregon bitterness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he intensifies his Hashkocha to protect us. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. This idea, I really enjoy this idea. Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, two quick ideas on Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi, we open up the door for Eliyahu Hanavi. First, we first open up the door. Well, what's the Seder Hadvarim? The Seder Hadvarim is we pour the koyish shel Eliyahu,
yes,
and then we open up the door and we recite Shloich HaMoscha. Okay, so the order is, now the problem is as follows: the whole year we recite Berachas HaMazon. And what do we say in Shloich HaMoscha? Shloich HaMoscha, we mevakesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should obliterate our enemies, and bring the redemption by obliterating the enemies. Okay, by obliterating the enemies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the redemption. Okay, so the problem is the whole year round, we in Birchas HaMazon, we recite two Harachamons. Harachamon, Hu Yishbor Uleinu Me'al Tzavarenu Vu Yolichenu Komemios De'artzenu. Now, what is that? That Harachamon pretty much is a synopsis of Shvoich HaMoschel HaGoyim. Pour out your anger upon the Goyim. Right, that's what it is. Asher lo yidu chavial mam lochis asher b'shim chuloi korahu ki ochel as Yaakov yestaveo heishamu shafoich aleim zamecha v'chulu v'chulu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to obliterate the enemy. Isn't that exactly what it means? Harachmoni yishpar uleinu miyal tzamreinu v'hu. Isn't that exactly what it means? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to obliterate the enemy v'hu yolechinu kamiyos taratzeinu. Right, that's really what it means. Obliterate the enemy and then we'll be able to go up kamiyos upright to our land. And then there's another harachon. Harachon yishlach lanu bracha mabul b'bayis hazeh. Okay, and then we mevakeish the last harachon yishlach lanu es elio hanavi zorchor latov divaser lanu b'saros tovos yishuos v'nechamos. Now, the night of Pesach, it's all about seder. If we were to follow the seder of the whole year, we should first recite Shvoich HaMoscha, and then we should fill up a Kais Shel Eliyahu. Okay, we're brainwashed, and we open up the door, Eliyahu comes in. That's not necessarily, that was a coincidence, it goes together. Just like in Birchas HaMazon, we're first mispalel for the obliteration of our enemies, and then we're mispalel for Eliyahu HaNavi. We should do the same thing on Pesach. We should also be first say Shvoich HaMoscha, and then we should fill up a Kais Shel Eliyahu and open up the door. You want to bring Eliyahu into the house? Say Shvoich HaMoscha. It's not such a good idea to say Shvoich HaMoscha when you open up the door, because the goyim are listening. Better is to say Shvoich HaMoscha when the door is closed.
They don't understand it. They don't understand it.
What?
No. Say it in Hebrew. They don't understand it.
That's the point.
You want to say to them. You want to risk your life. Okay. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know which.
In English.
But it would not be of any harm if you would first say Shvoich HaMoscha, and then you would fill up the kush of Eliyahu and open up the door for Eliyahu to come in. That exactly is the way we do it the entire year round. So why is it that the whole year when we recite Birchas HaMazon, we first are mispalel for Shvoich HaMoscha, and then Eliyahu HaNavi, and the night of Pesach, the order is reversed? So the answer is, and this is the answer many people give, is a very popular, a very interesting idea, is the Eliyahu HaNavi that we are inviting into our home is not necessarily the Eliyahu HaNavi of Klal Yisrael. There are many Eliyahu HaNavi. I want to give you a story, not to do the story now. There's an Eliyahu HaNavi, the Abisuras Tomos Yeshuas Nechamos of Klal Yisrael, the Gula for the Gans Klal Yisrael, and then there is a Gula for the Yechidim, for an individual. Every single person needs a private Eliyahu HaNavi. You can be my Eliyahu HaNavi. A person that brings you a good news, who brings you, gives you, get a phone call, that guess what, I have great news, I got a job for you. Great, got good news to tell you that this happened, that happened. The person who called you up on the telephone is your private Eliyahu HaNavi. And then there's the Eliyahu HaNavi that will bring the Gula for Klal Yisrael. If we've come already to the end of the Seder, and we've already eaten Shulchan Aruch, and we've already gotten past the point where there's no Afikomen, we've already passed the point where it's reasonable that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come at this point in time. Therefore, and we're basically, because this is what he says here, basically we're accepting this year, it already has to be realistic. Eliyahu HaNavi is not here this year. We've already reached this point. It's already the night of Pesach. We've already passed Shulchan Aruch. We're now up to when we say Shavuot Chamos. It's after benching. It's after benching. So it's already after the Afikomen. So it's already done. We've already in the Afikomen. We're done. It's too little, too late. We've eaten the Afikomen. Zecher leMikdash. It's all over. So now we mean Mispal Eliyahu HaNavi should come. We missed it. You want to be mispelled, the Eliyahu HaNavi should come. When you begin to say there's a time to mispell, the Eliyahu HaNavi should come. You should sell the Eliyahu HaNavi should come Erev Pesach. If you're already eating the Afikoyman, it's too little, too late. It's over.
Too late? Why too late?
Because you ate the Afikoyman. Ain Achanami, Mashiach can come, the Erefine in Achanami. But Al Derech HaTeva, you've already eaten the Afikoyman. You've already given up. I've eaten Zecher LeMikdash, I ate the Afikomen, I've already benched, my meal is over, and now I'm up to the third and fourth cup. It's over. It's over. When Eliyahu Navi is going to come, if you want Eliyahu Navi to come, you shouldn't misspell Erev Pesach, you shouldn't misspell Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you shouldn't misspell Ulong Yishakam. It's over. So what are you doing now? He's saying is, even though this Pesach has not resulted in the Geula for the Klal, for Klal Yisrael, but not all is lost. Every Yom Tov brings a Geula in miniature degrees of Geula. Yechidim take away out of Pesach Geula. You come away from the Yom Tov with a sense of optimism, with a sense of recognition of Hashgach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it's a different Eliyahu. First, we mispal al Shveich HaMosch al HaGoyim HaShe Lo Yiducha. And then you say, not all has been lost. Now we invite Eliyahu to actually come. It's not just like you did during Birchas HaMazon. Harachamon hu yishlach lanu es Eliyahu HaNavi, may he come. That's exactly the difference. In the Birchas HaMazon, Yiming Mispalel, he should come. He doesn't come. You're hoping he will come. Yiming Mispalel, he should come, but he does not come. The Seder is over, even though he did not come for the cloud, but we acknowledge that we did gain a degree of redemption from Eliyahu HaNavi, some degree in our lives. What?
Individually? No.
No, that's for the cloud. No, that's a reality. Shvech HaMoscha is a reality. Now that it's all over, now that Yom, that's another idea he presents here, is that when do we say Shvech HaMoscha? If we're writing the Haggadah, think about it, he says. If we're writing the Haggadah, when would you put Shvech HaMoscha? In the beginning of the Seder. When you say Holach Ma'anya. Holach, I'm sitting at the Seder. Here we go again. Last year we said Lashon Haba B'Yushalayim. Nothing has happened. It's all over. Whose fault is this? The Goyim. They keep us in Golus. They don't let us go to the Beit. They don't let us rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So you would expect to say Shveich HaMoscha in the beginning of the Haggadah. When do we say Shveich HaMoscha? After it's all over. Why? Why? So he says a very simple but very profound. Is because if you're going to say in the beginning of the Haggadah, you're not saying it in the proper frame of mind. You're saying it out of anger. You're not saying L'shem Shemayim. You're letting your emotions get in the way of what is.
Dovra Melech was pretty emotional when he
said. Well, Dovra Melech was Dovra Melech. We can only express, vent anger. We have to be certain that we're not overdoing it. So when it's not nogea to us, then is the safest time to Shveich HaMoscha. We desperately want to bring the Korban Pesach. But that desperation can result in getting out of hand. If we'll get out of hand, we'll go on the Har Bayis, we'll go become violent, and who knows what we can do. Are we really doing the L'shem Shemayim? Can any person go say the reason why I'm coming and I want to go and eat the Karim Pesach on the Beis Hamikdash is L'shem Shemayim? Maybe I just don't like these Arabs. I just don't like what they look like. I don't like this, I don't like that. You person can never be certain that he's doing something when you're violent. When a person bears arms and does something violent, you can never be certain you're doing it 100% L'shem Shemayim. The safest time during the year when you can be absolutely certain that you're being mispalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take revenge and to obliterate the enemy is when it's not nogea to you anymore. And what moment in time is the moment of the year where it's not nogea to you anymore? When you already ate the Afikoimen.
Right.
I ate the Afikoimen.
It's over.
It's over. So now I have a whole year until the next Seder. This moment in time is the safest moment of time for me to be violent. Because I can be certain my violence, I have no negias. No personal negias. It's 100% L'shem Shemayim. Because even if I succeed in my violence and taking revenge against all my enemies, I have nothing to gain from this for an entire year. So it's precise. Shefoich HaMoscha is said with precision. The thing, you know, we're not generally violent. It's a pella, b'chlal, why we say Shefoich HaMoscha? We're not generally violent people. We don't have violent parts in our davening. And yet here we have a whole piyut of Shvei Chamoscha, but it's putting with precision at a moment of time after it's not nogeya. Now we can be in the, we can be certain we're being mispalel Hashem should, to take revenge for the tsaros they've caused us with no negiyas, because anyway it'll take a whole year until we'll have another opportunity. A year from now, who knows what's going to be from a year from now? We're not holding what's going to take place a year from now. Yeah.
So why not Purim? We should say Shvei Chamoscha, because on Purim they got permission to wipe out.
Adarav, that's why it's dangerous on Purim, because since you have permission, who says you're doing L'shem Shemayim? Maybe you're doing it for ulterior motives.
What ulterior motives?
You don't like these people. You don't like these people. Violence. You don't know what violence is all about. You're so innocent. You have no negiyus. Okay, we'll stop here.